Hello, everyone. Welcome to Game Junk Prototype, episode 42, recording on the 1st of January, 2021. My name is Frank.
My name is Sean.
And my name is Andrew.
Happy New Year. It's going to be a big one. We're officially in the next console generation. We're going to be talking about not much, really, to be perfectly honest. Sean has something he wants to get into. I can't say what it is. I refuse to talk about it. We're going to get into a little bit of junk mail. And, of course, we'll be talking about what we played. How are you guys doing? How's your New Year?
Oh, doing pretty good. I didn't do much, obviously, for New Year's. Just watched some movies with the kids. Let them stay up till midnight. May not have been the best decision. We'll see how things go tonight.
I slept through New Year's. I fell asleep at around 6:30 p.m., 7 p.m., and I woke up slightly after midnight. I was awakened by fireworks going off, and I'm like, oh, I guess it's midnight. So, very uneventful New Year's Eve for me. How about you, Huck?
Same. Sat around. I watched some sort of cooking show on Netflix for the 4 hours before New Year's, and then went to bed at 11:30. It was excellent. And then also was woken up by fireworks shortly after.
It's weird. When you don't celebrate New Year's Eve, it doesn't even really feel like a thing. It's just another day. No. People were calling me and texting me. I didn't even realize what was going on. But we're there. We're in 2021. Just an arbitrary number and date assigned by humanity. Nothing has changed.
I was thinking about this. We should commission it to switch it to the winter solstice. At least that means something, right?
Have a winter solstice. Oh, that's
the
day?
Like, have a big day. Yeah, big day of it.
Midwinter.
I'm down for that.
All right, Sean. Not a lot of news to talk about. I'm going to hand it off to you. I'm going to leave the room. You go right ahead. I actually have an Apple support chat going as well here that's been going on for an hour.
Well, you might want to listen in because something I wanted to bring up actually relates to Apple. But the only news story that has come up, and some people have requested we discuss this, Frank is fuming. He's so angry he won't even address it. The KFC console, or KF console, however you want to pronounce it.
I like PF console.
The what?
Like PFK, Poulet Frites de Kentucky.
Yeah, in Quebec, for sure. So apparently KFC has a gaming console they're coming out with, and I guess they announced it earlier in the year, and everybody thought it was a joke, and now they've actually kind of unveiled what it looks like. Let me see if I can share my screen here and give you a little taste of what it looks like. But, the thing with this is that apparently it is set up in such a way, it's kind of a low resolution picture, but the basic idea is that all the heat that is generated from this game console goes into this little area. I don't know
warming
what you
call
it. And it's some sort of slot that you can put your chicken in to keep it warm. And obviously this thing went viral and everybody's wondering, is it real, is it not real? Apparently it's real. Like, it's kind of just a PC that's been modified a bit. I assume it will just play PC games, and they've said that it does 4K, it does 240 frames per second, but the actual technical specs I don't think are out there from what I've seen. Obviously, I mean, I don't know. I don't think anybody's buying this thing. If they are going to put it out for some sort of really cheap price, just, to sort of advertise for KFC in some way, maybe some people might be interested in it, but I don't even know what the hygienically speaking, putting chicken inside your game console. I have no idea if that's even a good idea. But it did start me thinking about some of the weirder game consoles that have been out there. And I remembered, so I thought to myself, wasn't Atari supposed to release something? And I guess they are still releasing a console called the Atari VCS. It got delayed last year because of COVID, but it's still supposed to be coming soon. I don't really know too much about it, except that it's apparently super overpriced because all it really is meant to do is play old Atari games. And, you know, yet it's kind of in line with some of the current gen, or I guess last gen game consoles. So there's that. But then I was looking at some, like, older stuff, and I had never heard of this. Frank, have you heard of the Apple Pippin?
I feel like I've heard the name. I know I said I wouldn't talk about it. Before we get to the Apple Pippin, the reason I won't talk about this is it's only designed to be talked about. I'm sure it's real. I'm guessing there's about, who know how many are they going to make? 100? Maybe 300? Something like that? This happens all the time. It's only existing for people to talk about it on podcasts or whatever. And that's why it shouldn't be talked about. You're just doing what they want.
It's absolutely an advertising scheme. But
let's not give this legitimacy.
I find it strange that you are not interested in collecting this thing, because A, it probably will be exclusive and hard to find in some capacity, and B, you are all about the Arby's jigsaw puzzles and meat sweats sweaters. So, you know,
yes,
why not
and maybe,
a KFC console?
Well, because maybe there are fast food podcasts, which I probably need to start listening to, or sweatsuit podcasts that talk about those things, or jigsaw puzzle podcasts. I probably would be interested in all three if they existed. They're three of my favorite things. But, like, it is just a marketing thing. If we want to talk about it as a console or whatever, there's really no conversation to have unless we're talking about those specs of a PC. I'm not giving KFC nor PFK the free advertising, and it's I can't believe you fell for it. It's clickbait bullshit and cluckbait. It's cluckbait and
hashtag cluckbait. I'm
not interested. But the Pippin, let me look it up. It sounds familiar.
Hey, I can share an image with you here.
I totally thought, Frank, this would be right up your alley too with your what was that thing you got off Kickstarter?
Yeah, the Ouya.
The Ouya.
Well, at least the Ouya was trying to be legitimate. Like, there was an idea behind the Ouya. It didn't work that great, but, I mean, I could get behind that as trying to do something new, and it wasn't that expensive. This is clearly just marketing bullshit. And it's not the same. Well, it is the same, but not the same in terms of talking about it on a podcast as something like the RB Sweats or Jigsaw Puzzle.
this console also kind of reminds me of the Intellivision. Is it Amico that's coming out? It's the, you know, do you guys know that Tommy Tallarico guy?
Oh yeah,
he's like behind it. It's like it plays like Intellivision games or something like that, similar to the Atari thing you were talking about, Dwight.
Yeah, okay, I do remember that as well. I was thinking in my head, like, I swear there's a few other of these out there that may never see the light of day. I mean, apparently this one is coming, but, it just happens sometimes.
But According to this, the Intellivision Amico is coming out this April.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, it's not dead.
That's coming soon, and this Pippin, year did this come out? 95?
95, yeah. I mean, it looks apparently is built on like a Mac hardware. I had never heard of it, but I mean, you got to get this for the retro lounge, man. This is like a must.
Did it actually launch though?
Apparently, I don't know how hard it is to find. Probably very.
Let's go to eBay. Gotta go.
But yeah, I mean, it's kind of weird. And, like, I don't know who, you know, I think some companies think they can just, like, kind of jump into video games and just make money. But unfortunately, there's some pretty well-established players at this point, and it's tough to put a dent in that.
Seems like they go for around 750 American, something like that.
Wow. That's a lot.
Now, this...
Are you on welfare, bud? With that.
The Pippin, though, like, it seems like it's more, not that that makes it any less intriguing, but it's like a Philips thing, not necessarily an Apple thing. Maybe the framework. Like, I'm looking at the boxes. I don't see an Apple logo on it necessarily.
Yeah, that's true. It doesn't look like Apple branded.
I mean, that's all I care about, really.
Looks like Bandai was also involved in it.
Well, AT Mark, Pippin, AT Mark or At Mark? Oh, this was new. This was new. The controller looks like it was kind of interesting.
Yeah, it looks like a boomerang.
Boomer, bud. What were your other strange consoles? Unless I missed it while I was talking to Apple, who finally came through with amazing customer service, went above and beyond what I was asking for, and yet another amazing Apple experience.
Yeah, I didn't I mean, there's a few others I saw that I had never heard of that were like from the 80s and stuff, but nothing that's too worth talking about. There's one called the Super Lady Cassette Vision. I don't know if this only... I think it only came out in Japan, so maybe that's why we never saw it. But, you know, there's some weird ones out there. That's all I'm going to say. And KFC console looks to join those ranks. And, I mean, that's really all I had to say about it, but...
I will no longer talk about food-branded PC cluckbait.
We're done. Well, the other thing you're reminding me of, do you guys remember when Burger King put out those Xbox games?
Yes,
of course.
So like the racing
King, and yeah, I forget what the other ones were called.
The racing one,
but
and
that was the best. Like,
but that was actually good. That I think is interesting, and they were games, and you could play them, and you could get 200 gamer score on each one. Like that, that's worth talking about.
Now,
if there's an exclusive ecosystem with achievements and their own. Like,
if all the games are only
hub
KFC
or something like that,
games,
yeah, I'm that I will legitimize and talk about a lot. Anyway, sorry, Hawk, what were you saying?
Oh, I believe I recall someone in this call going to Burger King quite a few times during those game releases, trying to get them all, to get all the free, cheap achievement score.
Well, I did get all three, but I mean, we had Whopper Wednesdays at SK.
Yeah, we were going anyway.
Yeah, that's true. I forgot. Yeah, I forgot about Whopper Wednesday. Yes, amazing.
It's pretty good.
Whopper Wednesday, I gotta say, carried on to my other place that I worked at Game Loft. So, I mean, it was hamburgers. They didn't have a Burger King nearby, but it was good times.
It's not fancy enough for Toronto.
Yeah, definitely had to hit up the gourmet burger places a few times. Okay, Frank, that's all I had to say on that one. You take
well, we got it out. I hope the listeners are satisfied. Sorry, I couldn't indulge. So, not a lot to talk about, but let's get into what we played. Anyone want to go first?
I can start. A few weeks ago, I played a game called Yes, Your Grace, which is a Game Pass game. It is sort of like it reminds me of the Banner Saga, except there's not the strategy RPG kind of aspect to it, but it reminds me in terms of the decision-making you have to make. So it's basically just a story game. There is some almost like resource management you have to do. You have to kind of control, I don't know, it was a few weeks ago I played it, but it's like your soldiers, your generals, how much resources you have and how much money you have, essentially. And there's like things where you can like take loans from the bank and try to control that. But some of the decisions you are you're faced with really start to stress you out, because you're a king, and they start to you have a family of, I think it's like three or four daughters and your wife. And then there's these like hordes of bad guys that have come over the mountains that are coming to get you. And you need to ask people for support, but they make you do stuff for them to get that support. And you only have so many generals, and you have to pay everybody. And so your general can only do one thing each day or each week or whatever it is. And so you have to really choose where you send him. And also, you start having to make decisions that involve, like, wedding a daughter off to one of the people you meet to try to get their followers. And then there's a little twist that happens in there. So the story was really interesting, but I was getting really stressed out playing it because all the decisions I knew, just like the Banner Saga, they were going to come back to bite you somehow. And you could see how it was just getting ready to just steamroll into just a giant disaster down the road. And so I played it for a couple hours and did really enjoy it, but it almost was too stressful for me. And I decided to just step back. But if anyone's out there listening and is interested in this sort of like a story decision game, like the Banner Saga, I highly recommend Yes, Your Grace.
Games that are too stressful. I don't know about this. This is
give it a
unprecedented
try.
Territory. You got to relax, bud.
I do.
I thought I was high strung. Anyway,
I can understand it. I mean, that's how I feel about RTS games. So, you know, something where you have like a lot of things you're trying to manage.
Sean, I don't want to nitpick you. I think you might mean TBS, maybe?
TBS?
Turn-based strategy? Like RTS, do you have time to stress out? Like, or do you mean in between rounds when you're picking upgrades and stuff?
Turn-based, you have time. Man.
Yeah, you said you RTS. Real-time
strategy.
Yeah.
Like StarCraft.
You don't have time to think. You got to react. It's all about actions per minute.
That's what's stressful. You don't have time to think. Like, you don't, you're not allowed to pause and think.
Hawk, you know what I'm saying, right?
You're like,
no, I have no idea what you're saying. I'm like, totally on Sean's.
The decision-making element that you're stressed out about, I could see that in a turn-based strategy game where you're deciding what to do. But, like, in a real-time strategy game, you have to, like, you're on your toes. You have to react. These are, like, you don't have time to think and get stressed.
You're making my point. Like, turn-based, you can stop. You can go, okay, catch my breath. What do I need to do here? And, like, plan it out in your head before you do things. Real-time strategy, you don't have that time.
Okay.
That's what's stressful.
I guess I see that side as well.
If your clucks per minute is too low, then you're going to be out of luck.
All right, I see it. I see what you're saying now.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying as well, too, though, right? Like, it's almost not a decision.
I mean, if you're, like, that good at those games that you just start, like, react and you're not stressed by that, fine, but I'm not.
I mean, what's the length of a battle in an RTS? Like 5 minutes? Is it worth stressing that much over? Like, it's going to be over.
I guess.
Anyway.
I guess so.
Sorry.
Yeah, I mean, none of it's worth stressing.
You were right. I was wrong. That's true.
Okay, well, I can mention something. I guess Immortals Fenyx Rising, we kind of had touched on this, you know, and talked about the trailers at some point. And we're unsure. Obviously, the title is a pretty bad title. But I was intrigued. Reviews have been mostly positive from what I've seen. And ended up picking it up because it's on sale currently. And it's kind of, you know, yes, it's Breath of the Wild meets God of War. You know, it's an open world sort of action RPG set in the world of Greek mythology. And I'm really enjoying it. I mean, I would say, I think the world looks beautiful. It's fun to explore. There's, you know, the combat is fun. The enemies are, you know, scattered throughout, but there's also like environmental puzzles and things. There is, now this is something I'd be curious how Frank feels about this. There's a bit of it's narrated by Zeus and Prometheus as you kind of go through your quest, and they kind of have this comedic angle to it. It's hard to explain, but they joke around about things and it's a little bit meta. Like at one point earlier in the game, something happens and they're like, well, I guess that's the end of the game. And like credits start scrolling up and it's all like game produced by Zeus, game designed by Zeus, stuff like that. Anyway, it doesn't always work for me. So I will admit that
I can imagine
aspect of the game is a little bit hit or miss.
It's like tongue in cheek humor kind of thing.
Yeah. But, and you know, the character designs and animations are a little bit kind of generic, not loving that stuff. But my other complaint, and I think Frank had something to say about this with some other games maybe, but the controls are weird. Like, all the attacks are on the shoulder buttons, and your dodge is on the square button on PlayStation, and they're just not a button mapping that I'm used to, especially like with other games I've played recently. So I'm constantly hitting the wrong thing, and you do have an option to remap controls, and I went in to try to do that, but the problem is there's certain functions that map multiple things to one button, and I can't explain it, but when I just tried to remap the way I wanted it, all these buttons were conflicting with things, and I was like, okay, I guess I can't do the mapping okay. I want.
I'll defend the game a little bit, because it's not that I agree with this necessarily, but the combat or attack buttons being on the shoulders is pretty commonplace these days, I would say. Ever since Dark Souls, and I mean almost every action game except for a few, well, I'd say it's probably half and half, have adopted that control scheme.
Yeah, well, I mean, I wouldn't say that that's sort of a standard yet, but I mean, I know it's out there, and I've certainly played a few games that do that. The thing that really has bothered me is the dodge, wanting to remap the dodge.
Dodge on square seems really weird to me. But I will say, so I'm not going to say much about the game other than I tried it, but Neon Abyss was the game I was talking about, and I'm not alone with my complaints with that. Jump is on the left trigger, and it has remapping, but it will not let you remap jump. It will let you remap everything but that. And I'm like, what is going on here? It's the only thing I want to remap in your game. Like, it's, and every, well, not everyone, a lot of people are saying the same thing. So it's not that it's a bad thing necessarily. It's just, I'm not going to play it right now because it's going to ruin me for every other game. And it's just going to deprogram whatever habits I have. And I hate when games make me do that. I absolutely hate it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of in a point right now where I'm jumping between a few different games, and that's where it's kind of tripping me up. If I was just going to focus on that game, then I would get used to it, and I'm sure it would be fine. But, yeah, what are you going to do?
Yeah, I'm still curious about that game. I think I might wait for even a bit more of a price drop. I think that'll be coming in soon.
Okay.
What type of game is this Neon Abyss game? Sean, can you
It's a roguelite kind of 2D shooter, I would say.
Okay, let me fire it up, cuz I actually have no idea.
It's on Game Pass. So I'll start talking next. So the reason I would try that game out is because I've talked about, I've been playing Scourgebringer a lot, and I mean a lot. I've been playing it all week. And I'm getting frustrated because I'm trying to get the hardest achievements in the game, and I'm just not getting there, even though the combat is amazing to me. Now, as I've played it for probably 30 hours at this point, I'm getting into stuff that is starting to annoy me about the game, like very small stuff that you would only notice if you're trying to get achievements, but starting to get on my nerves, but it is close to like a Game of the Year candidate for me. I am absolutely loving the combat in Scourgebringer. I know I talked about it already. I'm going to talk about it some more. The combat and locomotion is amazing. I can't get enough of it. But it definitely has made me realize, not that I didn't know this, but it really made me realize how much I love roguelites. And I've just been looking into more roguelites and trying to play more and more, and this was one, and I've downloaded everyone on Game Pass. I think I've bought 10 or more on Steam that are exclusive to Steam. This genre, I just love it, and I can't get enough of it. So I'm going to be talking about a few roguelites I've played this week, but mostly I've played Scourgebringer, but another one that I've gotten back into, and I purchased on Steam to start over again, is Hades, which is one Game of the Year in many places, including IGN. And I think, Huck, you've been getting into this game as well?
Yeah, I played just like two runs, though. I didn't play it very much, so...
Okay, I played it before.
I wish I had time to play it more, but I haven't yet, so...
And I am loving it. It is an amazing game. And the combat, it's actually... I don't know which came first. I know they were both in early access, but it is a nice transition between Scourgebringer in this game. They're very similar, different camera perspectives, but like the pace and just general style of the combat is very similar. But I mean, the polish level of Hades is ridiculous. Like the voice acting, I absolutely love. The artwork, which we're seeing on display now for the characters, I think it's amazing. And I suck at it right now. I cannot get past the first boss, but I am, excuse me, I think the choices you have to make, how it tells you, like gives you options for the next rooms, basically what kind of reward you want to go for in the next room and some risk reward elements. I think all of that is great decision making for a roguelite. And I mean, Dusa, I just found Dusa. I love Dusa, the Medusa head in Hades. Like, I just love the world of this game, and I'm sure that's nothing new. People are saying that already, but hoping to play it some more over the next week or so. But a lot of variety. I mean, I've only experimented with one weapon, maybe. If there was a criticism that most people have for Scourgebringer, I would say it is a lack of variety in terms of playstyles and weapons and stuff like that, where, although the guns are kind of different, but I mean, you can really make a lot of different types of runs in Hades. And I got to play more roguelites. It's the most addictive genre. The cliche of one more run is so true. I always find myself saying one more run. And the great runs where you like get an awesome combination of relics or blessings, whatever the game is, and buffs and stuff like that, it is just like so satisfying to have an amazing run. And I'm going to be playing more of them. I really can't get enough of them. It's quickly evolving to be my probably favorite genre right now. Even though, I guess, is it really a genre? It's like a subgenre for sure, but I mean, there's different...
I would say it's a genre.
Right, but like, there's action-based roguelites, there's strategy-based roguelites. It's more like a qualification or design, I don't know, template or something that you can apply to any genre. But anyway, let's not split hairs over that. But another one I haven't played yet, but I did tell Sean about, and it's right up his alley, although he denies it. He's really won't accept anything I tell him anymore. And I had not heard of it. It's called World of Horror. And it's like this crazy kind of, it looks like a story-based Japanese horror, neo-noir roguelite. And I bought it. It's in early access. I haven't tried it yet. But Sean, you got to check this game out. People need to, like, it's right up your alley, even though you say it isn't. I showed it to Huck without you even being there. And I think he said, "Oh my God, this is right up Dwyer's alley." I think was the exact quote he said. And Sean's like, "No, I'm not interested."
I'm not going to say I'm not interested. I just I picked up a lot of stuff from the Steam sale.
This is on there, I think.
And well, it's not on sale, I don't think. But I you can double check if you want. I don't think it was, but maybe I need to get it.
This is your game, bud.
But I hear you about roguelites, though. Like, I mean, for me, I hadn't really gotten hooked on them. And then I tried Hades, like, a few months back, and I was really enjoying it. And then I stopped and kind of haven't gone back, but I've been itching to. And it's interesting in the sense that Hades seems to be sucking up all of the attention for roguelites right now. Because, like you said, nobody's talking about Scourgebringer. Spelunky 2 should have been huge.
Yeah.
It feels like nobody's talking about that.
Some other ones I downloaded and I will talk about. Children of Morta, I think, recently came to consoles. There was another recent one, too. Undermine, which I will talk about later, is on Game Pass as well. But, I mean, there's tons of them, and I am into them big time. And I haven't even played some of the classics. Like, I got to try FTL, Into the Breach.
You haven't played FTL?
No. Really? I obviously love Slay the Spire. I've played that before. Moonlighter, Don't Starve, I hear great things about. Oh, I bought Noita, which is apparently really cool as well. Dicey Dungeons is one by the creator of VVVVV, I think. And
Terry Cavanaugh.
Yeah, so I don't know if anyone else has any recommendations. Oh, Darkest Dungeon was free on the Epic Store. Oh. I haven't tried that one yet.
Play that one. Play that. FTL, you'll really like Into the Breach because there's a really neat strategy aspect to it.
It won't be too stressful.
It's pretty stressful. apparently you love that stuff, so.
I don't get stressed.
Frank needs more stress.
I only stress out if it's like a missable achievement or trophy or something like that. That's the only thing that gets my stress.
The only thing I didn't like about Into the Breach is, now maybe it's been patched and improved, but I found that there's like some sort of like upgrade path to unlock more characters. And after I beat it the first time, I was never really drawn back to do one more run for any reason. So I would recommend other games over Into the Breach for that reason, especially like FTL and, what was one of the other ones? Darkest Dungeon.
Yeah.
I would highly recommend too. And of course, Rogue Legacy. It's the best one.
Which I have played a lot of. I played a lot of that game. That was, I think, my first
foray.
Love affair foray with roguelites. And also Binding of Isaac, which I hated when I first started it, and then eventually loved it. Although I still, my biggest complaint with Binding of Isaac has always been the same. I hate having to have a laptop open with all the items. Like, it's so annoying. Like, just tell me what the items are. I play too many games. I cannot memorize all the stuff in your game. It's so annoying.
Mm-hmm. Especially a roguelite when there's so many things.
Oh, and that game has a million, so many different things you can do and get. And it's like, I can't keep track of all these. Like, get real. Even the cards. There's two sets of 13 cards. Like the tarot cards and the actual playing cards. I don't even remember what those are. Those are the closest I can get to remembering what they do in that game. But anyway, love this genre. I'm absolutely in love with it.
I got something else I could talk about. I played NHL 21. I borrowed it at a library, and I was actually impressed. After being not impressed for the past, I don't know, 4 or 5 years, I actually think they improved the AI and the other team AI and your AI. The one thing I still can't stand that they didn't improve was on face-offs. When you get tied up, your wingers never come in to get the puck. They just sit there and let the other team pick it up every single time. And it drives me nuts. That's the only thing. But the defensive AI on your team greatly improved from what I can tell. Guys seem to actually skate to like open spots of the ice, and everything seems better. I don't know. I didn't read any stories about it, about how it's improved, or read any reviews, but it seems like it's much better. Now, I know that the franchise mode and all that stuff hasn't really changed, which is probably going to knock it down on reviews and stuff, but it's fine for what it is. And I was enjoying just playing the game. I didn't try any, like, the Be a Pro yet, which is where you play as one character. But as a team, for the team play, I played probably 4 or 5 games, and I was enjoying it. It was hard, but it didn't feel really cheap. And sometimes you'd get frustrated, but other times I'd blow a team out. So it was really fun, and I would actually consider picking this one up if people are looking for an NHL game to play, especially since the NHL's starting in 2 weeks. So, might get the itch to play.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah.
I got something I can kind of piggyback off. I mean, Frank, you mentioned briefly Binding of Isaac, but got to talk Super Meat Boy Forever, which just came out this past week.
I bought it and did try it, but not much.
Yeah, so same developer, or one half the development team, I guess, of Binding of Isaac. So this one has been in development for a long time. I was a big fan of the original Super Meat Boy. And, you know, like, there's games that are, like, punishingly hard. But for me, if they have really short checkpoints so that you can just keep trying over and over and over again, then I get hooked. And that's how Super Meat Boy was for me. I was looking forward to this. Now, I guess I didn't realize, and I feel like a lot of people are being caught a bit off guard with this one, it's actually an endless runner game, which sounds kind of bad, I guess, especially if you're not a fan of mobile games in general. It was originally supposed to be a mobile game. But So they released it for consoles, and it is an endless runner game where basically, you know, the only buttons you have are jump or duck, and then you can do like a dash punch thing in the air. But I gotta say, just with those buttons, I was pretty impressed with the level design and just how kind of hooked I got on the game. I just finished, I think, night before, I finished the second boss fight, which was like, it was like a crazy, like, I started off thinking there's no way I'm going to beat this thing. And then, you know, every 5 or 10 minutes, it was like, oh, but wait a minute, if I do this, that kind of works. And it just was like, it took me a while, but, I just kept making a little bit of progress. And it's just so tightly designed that, they spent a lot of time on this game. So I think it shows. I guess the other thing is they're saying it's procedurally generated, but only in the sense that when you first start the game, it kind of gets seeded and then all of the levels are generated from that point on. So your experience of the game will be different from someone else's experience of the game, but each of the individual sort of building blocks of a level are sort of handcrafted. It's just how they are put together is kind of randomized, I guess. Mm. Kind of an interesting idea, but maybe frustrating if you're kind of stuck on a section and you're like, how do I get past this? And you go to look it up. I don't know how that works because everybody's different. I'm really enjoying it. I could see maybe there might be a point where I'm just like, this gets too hard for me and I give up on it, but we'll see.
Yeah, it's a game where I think I need to put more time in because I was not a fan of the running up walls. Like, that felt really counterintuitive to me for how you wall jump and navigate that stuff, which a lot of endless runners have those kind of concepts. Like, I remember, what was the mobile Mario game called?
Super Mario Run, I think.
Super Mario Run. Yeah, it had some stuff like that too, and it just takes a while to get used to. So it was another case of, I don't want to deprogram to play this game unless I'm going to play it for a while.
Yeah, but I mean, if you think that there's not a lot that can be done with endless runners and they're just kind of like jump over obstacles and that's all they are, you might be surprised. Like, go check out the Rayman games on mobile as well. They're pretty cool.
Yeah, some of the video Huck was showing, although it reminded me of some of the levels of Rayman Legends, but art-wise as well, the silhouette levels, but that was kind of influenced by Donkey Kong Country as well, to some degree. Anyway, next roguelite I played is Children of Morta, which I had not heard of at all, and it is on Game Pass, and it is amazing. I love this game so far. You're basically playing through as a family. There's, like Hades, some story elements. There's a narrator, and you're playing as this family that has a house in this fantasy setting. I love the art style. It's like this highly detailed, pixeled art style, and you are, you know, basically going through this family, going into these dungeons. It's a bit of a dungeon crawler from that perspective, with a roguelite twist. But as you progress through the game, you unlock different family members, which each have different play styles. So you start with the kind of, barbarian type father, I think, and then get into the daughter, I think, and son, and they all have different play styles and they each have their own skill tree, but they have skills that, was that the infamous "just one more run" quote in the video there?
Yep.
Of course. But you unlock skills on each character's tree that actually apply to every character. So you're encouraged to try different play styles because as you level up every character, you build up skills for everyone across the board. And that's kind of how the story progresses, unlocking characters. Anyway, it's really neat. It's got some cool mini games. I think Sean was watching me play, and there was like a Pong one in terms of getting random relics and stuff like that. So some cool micro design ideas in there as well. Is probably a better way to put it.
I think that was actually when we were streaming it on Twitch. It might, the video might still be up if people want to go
check
it out when we were testing it out.
But yeah, I'm apparently has co-op, unfortunately only couch co-op. Sean said there might be something on Steam, but couldn't really figure it out. But I think it's extremely cool. I've not heard a lot of people talking about it. I'm really digging that game.
It looked really neat when you were playing it. I installed it because we thought maybe it had online multiplayer, but it does not. It's only local. But it definitely looks like a game I'm interested in checking out. You're scratching my roguelite itch with all this.
Oh, there are some good ones, and I can't wait to dig into some of these because it's just an amazing genre.
Yeah, I don't know if this is a good time to mention that we did do some streaming tests on Twitch, and we're looking to stream some stuff in the near future. So I guess if you have suggestions of games, I mean, I'm a little unsure like what would be better. Like, we could do it in that we could each kind of show off a game we're currently playing or something, or we could pick a game that maybe is a co-op, has a co-op campaign that we could all play through together or something over a few sessions. That could be fun too. Obviously, we've talked about A Way Out. Maybe
I'm assuming that's the reason for the popularity of roguelites as well. Like, they're a good streaming game because, like, you start a new run and there's like a embedded story. Like, the narrative is kind of emergent narrative, player-based stuff where it's like each run is its own story. So I think those are really good games for streaming because it's obviously random combinations of things that yield interesting results. And I think they are cool streaming games.
And the procedural generation of the dungeons obviously make it unique kind of every time you tune in. Yeah. So I could talk about a game I played. I got two left. Murder by Numbers is a game I picked up in the Steam sale. And it is a... Now, I didn't realize this was a type of puzzle, but a Picross puzzle.
Oh, yeah.
Which... So I didn't realize
I'm intrigued. I used to play Picross on...
Yeah, so it's sort of a combination of visual novel meets Pixel Hunt, which is, and then this Picross puzzles. So I had never actually done a Picross puzzle before, but it kind of interested me because of its similarity to like a Sudoku puzzle. And I've been really enjoying it. I probably put in like, I don't know, 20 hours trying to figure out these puzzles.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, maybe not, actually. I left it on a few times, but that's what Steam was telling me.
It's this guy's juicing his Steam numbers.
You know, when you got the kids, they call you away. You gotta go deal with stuff, you know? But I've been really enjoying it. The story aspect is a little long in the tooth with the storytelling. So I was really into, like, there's four cases in the game. And there's bonus puzzles you can do sort of like on after you finish a case, depending on how well you did, you sort of like unlock additional Picross puzzles to do. But I was thinking this would be like a really neat game to make because they basically take a picture of an item and then they make that into a Picross puzzle. So once you come up with like the algorithm to convert a JPEG or something into a Picross puzzle, you could technically make a ton of puzzles really easily. And but they came up with a bunch of neat little story arcs. It just some of the stories just go on too long and there's too much dialogue for me. So I'm finding now that I'm basically just rapidly clicking through all the dialogue to get to the next puzzle, because the puzzles is really what I'm playing it for, not necessarily the story. So in this type of game, I'm sure they're doing dialogue to try to lengthen it out to get the playtime up, because there are only four cases. But at the same time, I'm kind of playing it for the puzzles. So if the story was a little more concise in each of the cases, that wouldn't be a bad thing, in my opinion. But overall, fun. I enjoyed the puzzles. And it's a nice thing to just come back to every day and kind of do a puzzle or two and then move on to something else. But it's kind of giving me that Ace Attorney vibe as well. To it.
I think, is it made by the same developers as
Ace
Attorney?
I don't know.
I feel like it is.
It seems like it's linked on Steam with how do you pronounce that game? Hatoful Boyfriend?
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Hatoful? Yeah, yeah. I don't even, how do you pronounce
that? I'm not
that?
Sure.
Okay.
I don't know either.
I actually picked this up on the Switch because it was on sale on the Switch as well, but I haven't tried it yet.
Switch.
Yeah.
I'm actually buying stuff on Steam now. I bought a... It's got to be the new gaming chair. It's like, I got to buy stuff on Steam. Well, yep. I didn't talk about this either, but I have to say, this is actually an influence on me playing and buying stuff on Steam. The Series X controller. I know everyone says I'm a PlayStation fanboy. The more I play PlayStation 5 and Series X, I'm giving the edge to the Series X controller. And I love the DualSense at first, but the more I use it, the triggers are actually... I know you can decrease the haptic feedback, but even with decreased haptic feedback, I'm not a fan of the triggers. But the Series X controller has just kind of minimally improved everything, where the grips are amazing on the triggers and underneath. Like, it's such a small touch, but it makes a huge difference. Like, I love the grips and the D-pad. The D-pad is friggin' amazing. It is so good. And I now have 4 Series X controllers. I'm fully invested. I have every version. It is the best controller.
One for each limb.
Current controller. Exactly. I think I like the DualShock 4. But of the new consoles, the Series X controller is fantastic. So I've been enjoying using that to play some stuff on PC. And I love that controller. Absolutely amazing controller. On sale right now for Boxing Day in Canada if you need to pick one up. Anyway, I can't even remember what I interrupted. Oh, just we're talking Steam sales and Steam games.
Yeah, I don't think you interrupted
anything. I'm going to buy that Murder by Numbers game, I think. Not on the Switch, thank you. At least, at the very minimum, I can get Steam achievements, even though they're meaningless.
Well, okay, hang on. Before you get your hopes up, there's only 4 Steam achievements, and it's only for completing each of the 4 cases. So it's literally just like play the game and you get the 4 achievements.
I can live with that. It's better than absolutely nothing on the Switch.
I see. Okay. I just wanted to make sure you didn't have high hopes for like a big long trophy list.
That's okay.
Okay. I've got one more. I don't know if you guys have anything
else. I have another one as well.
Okay.
I don't know whose turn it is.
Well, I just went. Go ahead.
Okay. So Andrew James had recommended in the roguelite department in the comments... Undermine, which is also on Xbox Game Pass, and I checked that out. I probably put a couple hours into it. It's a roguelite dungeon crawler. I guess the twist with this one is it's got jumping, which is rare for an orthographic perspective. Isometric.
This is not isometric. That's what I meant to say.
Okay, it is orthographic, right? Isn't orthographic like directly top down?
Right. Yeah.
This is isometric. Yeah.
No. Isometric is like on the angle, like Hades.
This is on an angle, though.
Yeah, it's kind of on an angle. Oh, maybe. Well,
I'm talking
it's
like
somewhere in between.
Rotated 45 degrees, like Hades.
Okay, anyways, we're going to have to do some actual...
I think either one is isometric.
I really should know. I really should know which one is which. I thought I did, but maybe I don't.
Anyways.
Anyway, it's a really cool roguelike. It's not wholly original, but I like the art style. It's kind of fun. Not the best one ever, but it's I don't know. It's got its own little thing going on, and it's worth checking out if you're into the genre. It's got a throwing mechanic with the pickaxe that is kind of neat. I like the art style. It's really like it's hard to go wrong with this genre as long as you bring something like somewhat original to your take on it. I guess this one is kind of inspired in some ways by old school Zelda, like with the throwing element and stuff like that. It kind of feels like the boomerang from those.
Well,
old
even
games.
The characters are kind of dressed in that kind of Link green.
So definitely worth checking out. I'm liking the game.
Just to fact check the term isometric, according to this, so isometric is anything where you're putting the play space on an angle so that you can see things that wouldn't be seen either from side view or top down. It's not necessarily 120 degrees, which is like the official isometric. It could be any angle.
So Undermine is isometric.
I think so, yeah.
Pac-Man is orthographic.
I don't know about that. Didn't look up orthographic.
Okay. Pretty sure.
I'm going to say no to that.
Okay.
I think it has to be on an angle. It's like Hades.
It is on an angle. It's on a slight angle.
It's just on a different angle than Hades.
Not like camera down, but the world is rotated.
I can see pillars that I would only be able to see the very top of if it was orthographic.
Orthographic is literally like...
Yes.
Like the Qbert style angle.
Qbert?
Is what it says.
I don't...
Yeah, that's what it says. So Diablo is orthographic. So it sounds like orthographic is a subset of isometric.
Oh, boy. We need to cut this whole thing out. We sound like idiots.
I'm pretty sure I'm right, but I might be wrong. Okay,
see, isometric is an orthographic projection.
Okay. Right. It's been too long since we've made 2D games, so
I never knew what it meant.
I have one last one. Do you have one, Sean?
I'm going to save anything else I had for another show, so go ahead.
I'm pretty sure on the diagrams I'm seeing that I was correct.
Okay. I'll trust you then. My last one I played was called Call of the Sea, which is also on Game Pass. It is a first-person adventure game, sort of like... You know, Gone Home, walking simulator, but it's not a walking simulator. There are puzzles. And it is really a beautiful game. The art style is really nice. It's basically, I think you're set in like the 1920s or the 1930s. And you basically are going to this island to find out, I believe, where your husband went. He was on some expedition and he disappeared. So you are now on this island looking for your husband and the rest of the expedition. And as you progress, there's like evidence of some sort of, I guess, indigenous tribe on the island that has set, not traps, but there's little puzzles for you to solve to like open gates and things like that. And then as you progress, you find like weird artifacts and there's more puzzles related to that. And overall, it's fun. I think I'm about halfway through it right now and I'm enjoying the story. It is a little slow, but that's okay. I think I talked about this before a bit, but I'm further now. I'm about halfway. And there was only one puzzle where I got stuck and had to look up help because the instructions just were not clear enough as to where you had to put... You had to kind of like drop ink in like certain locations to unlock things. And it was not exactly clear what positions they were supposed to go into. But anyways, really enjoying it. And it's a nice little change of pace from some of the other games I've been playing. And I would recommend this one too. Another Game Pass winner, I would say.
Okay, let's clear this up. So I think we're both right, or we're both half right and we're both half wrong.
Okay.
So isometric has to be like equal angles between the axes. So that 120 degree thing you're talking about is correct. Like there's a symmetry between, that's the symmetric. The symmetry is of the angles of the perspective, right? Orthographic is a direct projection. I don't know what in between is. I think it's just perspective. It's a perspective camera.
Yeah.
But the thing I saw said that isometric in games is kind of used even if it's not 120 degrees.
Yeah,
so it may not be officially that, but people still call it that.
I think Undermine would just be a perspective camera. It's nothing fancy. It's nothing sexy.
I think so, yeah. It's kind of like a typical Zelda 2D camera.
Definitely
good.
Zelda.
Glad we cleared that up.
Until someone says we're actually wrong.
I just wanted to mention real quick that I did play a bit of that game you just mentioned there, Huck.
Oh, Call of the Sea.
Yeah, and I liked it too. I was kind of just threw it on and didn't really expect to get pulled into it, but I was enjoying it, and I played a bit more of it than I thought I would. But it's kind of like a Myst-esque kind of game. And as with our ongoing conversations about sort of point-and-click adventure games and, you know, whether that genre is dead or still interesting, I mean, this is a a version of that that I think still works quite well today. Like, you know, you're actually interacting with things a little bit more, which helps. It's mm-hmm. not just click, click, click. But I did like the visuals quite a bit.
Yeah, the only issue I have with all the stuff you have to pick up is I don't even think there's too much. But usually when you pick something up, the woman who you're playing as gives you like a like almost like her opinion on what you pick up at the same time as you're trying to read what it says. So sometimes it just gets a little boggled in my mind about what is actually happening. But that's a pretty minor nitpick.
It looks really good in this video.
Yeah,
like, well, visually it looks like amazing.
This, yeah, it's really cool.
I did. There were some visual glitches when I was playing it. May have been fixed by now, but just, you know, things popping in and whatnot, but not a huge deal.
I don't recall having anything. I was playing on my PC, though, so obviously it's better than wherever you were playing it.
Yeah, I was playing it on Xbox One S.
Oh. So. Oh.
Yeah.
That's it for me.
All right, what are we doing here? We're going to do one quick junk mail, maybe?
Yeah, do one.
What do you think?
Sure. Okay, we'll do that. We'll do one from Josh. He says, "Dear Game Junk, what's the best sports game for people who don't really give a shit about sports? I used to love arcade-style sports games, but I feel like they don't really make games like that anymore. I tried Mario Tennis for the Switch, but it almost felt too cartoonish. Pyre was cool, but it didn't really hold my interest for some reason. I would love to get into an addictive arcade-style sports game that requires skills to master, while at the same time being easily accessible so that anybody can jump in and play. I don't follow sports at all, so I don't care about rosters or realistic gameplay."
I mean, I have the answer. I know we're both going to say the same thing, but I hadn't read the full email, and to me, the game that matches that to a T, not even close, is iDarb. Hashtag iDarb is what it's called. It came out a long time ago. It has everything you're looking for as I'm concerned.
Yeah, it's kind of almost a parody of sports games in a way, but it is a sports game. It's just not, it's like a made-up sport, right? Yeah. Like, what's the goal? You're just trying to
score in a net. It's kind of like a mix between soccer, football, and basketball, but it's its own thing. It's definitely the one you're looking for, I think.
I was going to say Rocket League, which is kind of like cars and soccer mixed up in a 3-on-3 online match, and it's really fun. I know the guys at Pixelnauts are probably still obsessed with it. Years ago, Vince had like over 2,000 hours on that game. So I don't even want to know what it is now because they used to play.
He's very good.
He's very good, yeah. But that is the exact game where it's easy to pick up and try and be decent at. But then to master it, there are really some nuances that you can get with your skills that you would never know about. Also, there was this game. It's not really exactly what you're looking for, but Lonely Mountains Downhill, which I believe is on Xbox Game Pass. It's basically you're riding a bike down a mountain, and it's physics-based, so there is some skills to master with how your bike controls. But it's a fun little arcade. I guess it's kind of sportsy, and it's a fun little option, I would say.
Yeah, I think I tried that.
This game looks somewhat Trials influenced, which was also a Pixelnauts fave.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Trials is good. So I had a couple quick things. I mean, they may not be exactly what he's looking for. I was going to mention this Blazeball game. Have you guys heard of this?
Just briefly. I went on the website and it was like not ongoing at the time, so I don't really know what it's about.
Okay, well, I mean, I'm not too familiar either. I've seen it turn up on some best of lists for best games of the year. And it may not be exactly what he's looking for because he wants something skill-based. This is more of a, like, sim game, I think. But it kind of is a parody of sports games in that they just have these ridiculous team names. And I think all you do is you pick a team and you bet on certain things to happen in games. And then games get simulated and you make money off of that. But there's, like, just weird rules and things that happen in the games. So like it's not actually baseball, it's kind of like a made up sport called Blazeball.
I have not heard of this.
I'm kind of curious, but I have not checked it out myself.
There was that Disc Jam game as well, right? Which I never got into. It was on PlayStation Plus, I think.
Disc Jam.
Yeah.
I
don't know if I remember. It was like throwing a disc, like this kind of competitive. It was basically a new sport. I can't vouch for the quality, but I think it got decent reviews.
Right. So there's also that Sports Friends game that came out a while back. I don't know if it's on... I think it's on consoles as well as PC.
What is Blazeball on?
It's just like a browser-based game.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, Sports Friends has a bunch of kind of weird made-up sports in it. Some people were really into that. On the topic of, like, they don't make arcade-type sports games anymore, there are some out there. Super Mega Baseball is a big one that's been... I think they've done three of those now, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
And they've kind of done pretty well. There was one I saw on Apple Arcade, and I haven't tried this myself either, but I'm a little curious. Ultimate Rivals The Rink. It's like a two-on-two hockey game, but the weird thing is they have athletes from all different sports that you can choose from. So you can choose like NBA, actual like licensed NBA players or other sports that play in this hockey game against you. Kind of curious. I think that's about all I had.
There's one game I've heard about but never tried and don't know too much about it called Frozen Cortex. I don't know if it's on any platforms but Steam, but it's, I believe it's like robots playing some form of like American football sort of idea. And I've heard about it, but I don't really know anything about it. So I can't really say one way or the other, but it might be worth something to check out.
Hmm. Yeah, I hadn't heard of that. But if anybody out there has suggestions, you can leave them in the comments. There are a lot of little games like this out there.
Or you could join our Discord and post in there.
Sure, that too.
Which I think the only spot for the link is on the Facebook page right now, correct?
I think so. Or if you go, let me think.
I've been putting in the YouTube description link as well.
If you go gamejunkpodcast.com, that will take you to a page within the Film Junk site, and there's a link on there somewhere as well.
Perfect. Good?
I think that's everything.
We had a few other junk mail questions that have come in over the past few weeks, but you know, we'll try and get to them as we can.
Maybe next week if there's no more news again.
Well, as long as we don't make up fake cluckbait news to talk about, we'll be good to go.
I want to ask you guys, what's the plan for our best of 2020 show?
It's got to be next week or the week after, no?
We don't want to wait too long, but I mean, I got a lot of stuff I wanted to try still. I assume you guys are the same. But we might just have to set a date and see what happens.
Through. Do some... paring down of the games to try and only try the ones that might make the top tier.
Only play an hour of them and never hear the end of it for the rest of my life.
Exactly.
Okay, well, that's going to do it then. Obviously, check it out on youtube.com/gamejunk. If you haven't, it's going to be huge. You want to get in early.
Hey, we're almost at 400 subscribers now, I think.
There you go. Keep going.
Let's get it done, people.
393, apparently.
And check out Film Junk on Twitter, My Angry Commute, and Equilibrium Sis on Twitter. And I guess I'll plug the Facebook page, Game Junk Podcast, for news. And it's a nice consolidated news. It's not all these garbage opinion pieces and sci-fi clickbait bullshit on some of the bigger video game websites. It's just the essential facts. Although, if the KFC console was posted, which I'm pretty sure it was, I'm going to have to, you know, lobby for some editing there. But we'll be back next week, possibly with our top tens. Maybe not. We'll see what happens if there's any news in the world of video games. But until then, Happy New Year. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you soon. Bye-bye.